Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 816. I really had to squint at my screen because my contacts suck currently. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. Well, in my personal life, not a heck of a lot. In the world of wrestling, oh my goodness. I'm batting down the hatches.
Yeah. There was the big news of Vince's return that dropped after we had recorded last week. I think the day after we recorded, so I guess the day that it posted, I think, was when the Vince news broke, because Jeremy and I got to talk about it. Well, another shoe drops today. And honestly, this is one where I'm like, come on, Google. Like, why am I getting this news so late here, guys? Like, this should be, enter into my, Google news feed when, one Stephanie McMahon decides to, resign from her role as co-CEO of the WWE. So, you know, that is, there is some shakeup going on there in the world of the front office of the WWE. And,
yes, there is. And I don't know if I say it yet, but there are hints all over the place of even more major, maybe even bigger news dropping imminently. And if it happens in the next hour, we will tell you about it. You'll have already heard about it, and then we'll give you your thoughts about it.
Yeah, it will be nice to get news as the show goes on. Like it has been quite the rarity for that to for it to drop in our laps that this well. Because yeah, when Brian Alvarez says that big news is imminent, you know, I have a hard time believing, especially in this digital age, that imminent tends to be within a pretty reasonably short time period these days. And there's a lot of things that you could speculate on, I suppose. I would just hope for the sake of the wrestlers that Triple H stays in his position. But I don't know. Maybe that will be used to make a point.
Yeah, no. I definitely am in favor of Triple H staying in power. I mean, I am one person who has absolutely believed since all this started that, yes, Triple H and Stephanie were heavily involved in pushing Vince out. I believe that wholeheartedly. But what I do not believe is that them or Nick Khan or the rest of the board really cares about any accusations against Vince. This is the wrestling business. This is, you know, it's Wall Street. All these people have skeletons in their closet. The reason they wanted him gone is because they believe he was mentally incompetent and was not able to make good decisions for the company. So they gathered up all the dirt they could to prove that he was a pervert who misappropriated funds. And they thought that was enough to take him out for good. They were wrong about that.
Yeah, that is correct.
Yeah, so Vince is fully back as the chairman of the board. There's still people thinking that the SEC is still going to get involved and he can't take over creative. Why would the SEC let him come back as the chairman of the board, but care whether he's sitting in the gorilla position at Raw and SmackDown? Come on. Think about this, people.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure why you would have that line of thinking. You know, of all the options available to you, that one seems the least plausible.
Why would that be where they would draw the line if they legally could, you know, sanction him in any way for any of this? They obviously have not, and probably never really were seriously going to investigate. because it's just wrestling and no one cares.
Well, and he does still own a majority of the company just on his own. If
yes, he does.
So going, yeah, like you can kind of do whatever you want to. You own the majority of the company. Like that's kind of why that word is that word.
WWE as a publicly traded company has always been a tricky situation because yes, they've sold off pieces of themselves for the past 20 plus years, and they've made the company is now worth somewhere in the neighborhood of between $5 and $10 billion. That likely would not have happened if they never went public. But as far as the class of shares that allows one person to have 80% of the voting rights. and that being a publicly traded company, it's always been their status as a publicly traded company has always been shady in that regard. but once again, I'm no expert on Wall Street or any of those types of things. But it just doesn't sound like the intent and purpose of what a publicly traded company should be. But yes. Vince always had that ace in the hole that he owns so much of the controlling stock, and that what he did may have skirted the line of not being legal, but never quite went over it.
Oh, right.
Maybe it was only a matter of time before the dust settled. He figured that out. Plotted his moves. He came back into power really last week, and then I believe today was the official vote. Now, apparently, from what has been said now, Stephanie resigned for both her CEO position and her spot on the board of directors before the final vote was made to put Vince unanimously back as executive chair. So whatever number of the board is exists now, because they lost two other board members as well last week too. So I guess a 99-person board, or 8, not including Vince himself, made him chairman again. And yep, here we are. Stephanie has resigned once again. As I said, there are serious issues in that family. There have been for a very long time. So once again. It is somewhat surprising that just for the sake of, the image of the company, especially if they are going to be heading into a sale in the next year, not keeping a smiling, happy image of the company as it's continued to be a well-oiled machine. That interests me, that she really is so frustrated with the situation that she has completely resigned. Not a leave of absence, she's completely resigned.
Yeah, I mean, it's an extreme move, to be going with there. I don't think it's going to do anything other than her not working for the WWE,
At the end of the day, all these people with their shares of that stock, they will be okay. They will land on their feet. Now I know Shane has already, sold a lot of stock and taken that money to invest in failed business ventures. But I assume, once again, he still probably has more than enough money to live on for the rest of his life as well. I'm not going to cry for these people, too loudly. no matter what happens, what Triple H's future with this company is. Once again, I do hope that he stays in charge of creative. I don't think there's really anyone else who would do a better job at this point in this instance. I don't necessarily say his television is the most exciting wrestling television I've ever seen, but it is better than things were 6 months to a year ago. I will definitely say that.
That was the one thing that Jeremy and I talked about the most was, I'm like, just please, dear God, just don't go back to creative. Like, if you want to head the business, have at it, man. Like, the both of us never thought it was just like, yeah, I mean, I guess those accusations were always kind of out there. And it's kind of weird that you thought that that would completely do the trick. I just think that there are certain factors involved now that, or maybe not even now, but on a regular basis, that allow people like Vince to pop back up. You know,
right.
It took him 6 months. The man is just a complete lifer in the WWE, and just really cannot chillax at all.
I mean the parallels for him and one Donald Trump are amazing. You know, you're just never gonna pin them down with anything. I go all day with them, but you went no. It's like, finally got him this time. No, you didn't. You never did.
Yeah, hey, exactly. Like, they always seem to find a way to bounce back on their feet, and it's just like, you know, it's almost a Wile E. Coyote kind of situation. No matter how many times they go down, they always get back up. Oh, man. So, yeah, that is some interesting news there that Stephanie resigned before the board vote there. Because I guess I wasn't terribly familiar with the whole extent of the news there. And, what the...
I put my phone down for about 20 minutes and all hell broke loose. I was scrolling Twitter for what felt like forever just to get back to, like, 30 minutes ago.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I guess let's hope. There's only so much to say, I guess, until that other news comes out. Like, Stephanie being down, like, kind of like Vince being in the corporate office, like, how they run their business is, I don't really care, I guess. You know, my main interest in their company is the creative end of things. You know, if they feel like selling off to some larger conglomerate is the thing to do, and Stephanie wants to keep it somewhat of a family business, like, that would be kind of the interesting thing here, I guess. Maybe. Is that she is anti really selling off the WWE, but Vince would be pro for, you know, money related reasons.
I would never think the day would come, but it's pretty obvious to me that Vince is the most gung-ho about selling. And he may have already made a back-channel deal with whoever he wants to sell to. And that's why he's pushed so hard. That's just speculation for me, but the gear is turning. That, you know, there's a reason for the timing of all of this. Because you would think, with the Royal Rumble and the WrestleMania period coming up, you would not want to upset the apple cart. You would not want to make a big public spectacle of all of this. But here we are.
You know, it'll help draw eyeballs. That's always they'll incorporate it into storylines. That always makes for great headlines. We'll see Stephanie wrestling at WrestleMania. Some type of weird stipulation match.
AEW Revolution. She'll
oh my god.
She'll be facing Britt Baker. Come on
now. Oh my gosh, that would be something else. It's not going to happen, but at least the wrestling end of it. I would fall over laughing if she popped up in AEW, though. Fall over laughing. That would be about the biggest coup that you could get, I would imagine.
Oh, that absolutely would be, yes.
Because, yeah, I mean, even if Shane went there, he's had enough downtime with the WWE to not count as much. He's not really a lifer. Because, I mean, I guess that's the other wild thing. I mean, obviously, Stephanie's been a lifer.
Yes. She's known nothing else. She was answering phones when she was 16 years old. She's known no other life.
Yeah.
Other than whatever she wants to call her philanthropy type stuff, but that's, once again, that's under the umbrella of the company. Everything she's ever done in her life, up until whatever's going to happen next, has been under the umbrella of the company.
Yeah. I mean, that could be an interesting venue for one Stephanie McMahon there to see maybe what she does in the future here. But I don't know. There's not a lot to speculate for me on that end. Like, I mean, you could throw out all kinds of wild things, but I'm not sure that's really worth it.
Yeah.
She's going to start her own women's only promotion, huh? You know, that would be crazy if there's a third promotion that she starts a third promotion and takes Triple H with her. That's the big news. They bought NWA from Billy Corgan, and they're gonna try to turn it into a thing again. Okay, now I'm just silly talking.
Yeah.
But anywho, yeah, I mean, there's. I guess that is kind of interesting to me that Vince could be at the forefront of winning a sale. Of all things, you know, like, I don't know how many dollars you need, but you have more than enough, Vince. Like, does he need a retirement nest egg? Like, what?
Just to say that you sold your company for
whatever the value is,
$1 billion, whatever the value is, it's looking well into the billions. I mean, more than what UFC sold for. I know it will be, you know, just a massive number from the company that, you know, his dad ran out of a single office in Connecticut or, you know, what have you. And there are people who think that Vince, you know, if the Washington Commanders are forced to be sold, Vince will make a play. And he can't make a play without the liquid cash he would get from a sale. So that's he could die being an NFL owner, having joined the Ultimate Rich Guy Club. The one they wouldn't even let Trump in. The one Ted Turner never joined.
I mean, Ted Turner did own a baseball team, which is honestly
a basketball team, yes.
the baseball one is a big flex when you're allowed to pay people whatever the hell you want to. Although it wasn't quite the spending spree that's been going on lately here. Back in Ted Turner's time, there were still some numbers out there though by the time Ted owned that team. So yeah, that's a pretty big one. But yeah, I would think that, especially now, with the NFL being, you could have argued that MLB was pretty popular when Ted Turner owned it, but football has definitely taken over as far as viewership goes from that front. So yeah, football is kind of like the sport to own in, I would think.
Oh yes, it definitely is.
At least in the U.S. Obviously, I know that plenty of people want to own soccer clubs or football clubs, however you prefer to call them. Over in England and other such places. So yeah, that's always an interesting rich guy ownership thing. Even if you're only Ryan Reynolds. I was half interested in that television program. Do you see the ads for that one? Him
Which
and
one?
Rob McElhenney from Always Sunny in Philadelphia like co-own a like a minor league soccer team in England now.
I have absolutely zero interest in that, but you go ahead and watch whatever you want, pal. I'll let you.
Well, I said I thought about it. I don't think I'm ever going to, but you know, it's soccer ownership is kind of popular these days, I would say. But yeah, football is
A little popular.
still the big thing, and I guess that would be interesting.
I mean, no matter what Vince gets out of this, he will never have con money. The money to buy your son two professional start sports teams and start a professional wrestling league just so your 40-year-old son can have toys to play with.
Yeah, Shad Khan has a few little bit of change there. I don't know if that's Scrooge McDuck money. I don't know where you start saying Scrooge McDuck money, you know, just swimming in gold coins somewhere.
Yeah, I imagine that's what it's like. Because those are just the toys they bought. They made their real money doing something else entirely.
yeah, I'll start
That's the
with
toys they bought with that money. Yeah. Just think about that.
well, yeah, and I mean, one of them is a Premier League team, which is they've owned that for a long time now. Like, I've been a Fulham fan ever since Brian McBride, who played for the Columbus Crew, went over to play for Fulham in the early 90s, I want to say. No, it would have been late 90s. So I've kind of followed the team, and I mean, Shad Khan's owned that for at least that length of time. You know, and it was a Premier League team at that point. So he definitely bought in it probably a nice number. I don't know really know what it is, but yeah, and then they're back up. They're looking pretty good this year, honestly. Because they got called up and then got clobbered. Got kicked back down to relegation and then got back in this pat th this year. And are looking like they should stay up this year. I think Tony Khan actually learned his lesson and did a better job of acquiring more talent for the team to stay up at the Premier League level. And I'm kind of happy about that. Didn't expect soccer
That's
talk
cool.
out of me today, did you?
No, but I brought it on myself.
But yeah, like you said, I mean, it is wild what that man can do and what we're talking about with Vince here. I guess is there anything else really to speculate on within this thing until we actually get the news that was promised to us during the show, of course, Mr. Alvarez. We will fully blame you if we don't get big news during this broadcast. But do we try to move on to storylines here within the WWE currently?
Oh,
No.
sure. Why not? Let's talk about all the fake stuff. Yeah. All that fake crap. No. Let's see. What's even the lead story this week?
I mean,
We overdo. We we we
it is
overdo with
definitely
the. Go ahead.
It is definitely the gif of the week, I would say. Sami Zayn jacking off with popcorn, I feel like, has been a lot of places this week.
Wow, I did not expect to hear that. And that's the first time I've heard it described in that way. Wow.
You're welcome.
Whew. All right. Well, yes, Sami Zayn got really, really, really excited after the end of the Usos versus, oh God, I'm going to say it, Banger Bros match.
Yep.
At the end of SmackDown, not, I mean, once again, interesting storyline and character development again throughout the show. Roman Reigns, you know, blaming Sami Zayn for the loss and chewing him out, then leading to, you know, Kevin Owens coming out, immediately being able to get his wish for a championship match at the Royal Rumble, and then the Bloodline still continuing to essentially give Sami Zayn the cold shoulder, including both Usos, who had just started liking Sami. It's barely been a month since the Survivor Series. And one dirty look from Roman Reigns means that the rest of them all give Sami a cold shoulder. Then leading to Roman Reigns, for the first time in this entire run, apologizing to someone for his actions. He never apologized to Jay for anything that he did to him. But he's going to apologize for Sami for yelling at him. Once again, so many layers to this whole storyline. God, I hope this doesn't screw this up. I know we just got off that subject, but that just really hit.
That's one of the few things that I do feel like I've tried to keep perspective on. Vince was in charge of this storyline for a year and a half. He brought Cody Rhodes back, like. We're getting Cody Rhodes comeback story vignettes on Raw. Still seems like the most likely candidate to take that belt off of one Roman Reigns, no matter who is in charge. Like, there just isn't anyone else. Definitely, yeah. No one fresh.
But I do think that Cody winning the title is necessary and soon, but I'm getting that feeling that some little things that have been said, and maybe some videos that have gone up on YouTube recently, that I'm starting to think Rock is actually coming back. There's just something, I can't really totally even explain it, but it just feels like there's something in the air that. And of course, we'll know in the next 2.5 weeks. But I'm feeling it. And if that does happen, we are very likely going to have to delay the crowning of Cody Rhodes.
Kind of interesting. That was one of the things that hit my brain when I did see the Brian Alvarez imminent big news incoming. Because no one's really been, you know, the speculation has been out there. Just because Roman Reigns has held the championship for this long, and obviously there's a family connection there, fabricated or otherwise. And it just seems like such a natural match to have that. It was always hard to, like, not have that speculation out there, in my opinion. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd absolutely agree. Yeah.
So, but I did think, I'm like, I wonder if it's that The Rock is coming back for this WrestleMania. Like, that, he is the only person, really, that can hold off a Cody Rhodes coronation.
Yes, and they are definitely, once again, they're definitely setting the table for Cody. It will not be a surprise. They've even put him on the new poster. The new poster that is essentially an homage to the Black Adam movie poster with all the lightning bolts shooting through. So, again, some form of hinting going on here.
Possibly.
Yeah. So once again, they removed Cody as a surprise. I'm not one to believe that The Rock should be a surprise. I think that they've got that 30th anniversary of Raw episode. He probably should either be physically at it or have a video shown. I think he to maximize eyeballs on Peacock. If not, sell a few extra tickets. I don't know where they're at with tickets. If they're sold out or not, really, they should announce The Rock's going to be there in advance. But if they're married to the idea that number 30, that buzzer comes off for number 30, and that if you smell hits the speakers, and everyone's just gonna, you've already been Mr. Potty Mouth, so I'll say it, everyone's gonna jizz themselves.
Hey, I didn't say that word. Sir, how dare you use such offensive language? I said jerk. That is okay. Your potty mouth over there. Yeah. It would be really strange to try to keep The Rock quiet for that type of situation. And I guess it doesn't feel like it's necessary. You know, like you said, if you say that he's going to be there, it's just people are going to be there. Like, more people are going to watch.
People are going to tune in.
People who
never watched wrestling or haven't watched wrestling in years would tune in for that. If they're subscribed to Peacock already. And there's like 10 plus million people who pay for Peacock, so...
Yeah. They're definitely more likely to tune in at that point. Like, yeah, just like people tuned into Fox more because John Cena was on SmackDown. You know.
Right.
So, but even more people are going to tune in because it's The Rock and he hasn't been there as frequently.
Yeah, absolutely. So I wouldn't do it as a surprise, but they, unless he shows up on that 30th anniversary of Raw episode, that they're really not promoting that strongly. We're less than 2 weeks out now, and they're not saying that everyone's coming back for that or really promoting it at all, which is interesting to me too. But yeah, if they're married to the surprise idea, I guess it'll be really, really exciting. Because by that point in the night, I am going to be completely hammered, and I may lose control of some bodily functions. I won't.
Oh man. Well, we do not need that on video. Yeah. I mean, you enjoy yourself, and that would be. I mean, it will be a pretty wild moment if he comes back. Like,
it's still an if. And I mean, until he shows up, there's still an if.
Yeah, and I mean,
I'm just saying. I'm just feeling it. I'm starting to feel it. This is actually happening.
Yeah. I mean, again, that could be the possibly the imminent big news, but who knows? Bloodline stuff definitely continues to dominate the old WWE airwaves like nothing else. I mean, they even got to take over part of Raw with Solo Sikoa getting a another nice victory for himself on the main roster.
Yeah. Solo has been impressive in his last several outings. Another opponent who's got some name value, but he can obviously, beat him decisively in Ken Stein's own Dolph Ziggler. So it's a good win for Solo. As far as the Usos are concerned, well, they are going to have a fairly interesting new challenge on the horizon in the form of the Bloodline doing battle with the Judgment Day.
That is an interesting feud.
It really is interesting. It's not exactly the Shield versus the Wyatt family back in the day, as far as like excitement over it or anything. But they're still both solidly heel factions. Although you've got the Bloodline always getting a percentage of cheers, and the Judgment Day recently taking a veer towards comedy and being actually fairly hilarious.
That might have been one of my favorite parts of Raw this week.
I think it was my favorite. It was the greatest show.
This whole Dominic Mysterio did hard time gimmick, because Jeremy showed me on Instagram the teardrop tattoo, and I'm just like, oh my god. And then to have him dress like an old Mexican gang. Like, I mean, he was dressed like Conan circa 30 years ago. And, oh my god, the whole thing was so over the top and so funny. And it's just like, obviously it started with the whole meme-iness of, Rhea Ripley being his mommy, and it's really, they just were like, yeah, you know what, that's a great idea, we're gonna go with that. And it's really snowballed into this, and it's really been interesting. I can't believe I'm saying that that Dominic Mysterio is interesting, but here we are, Chris.
Yeah.
Dominic Mysterio is interesting.
Yes, Dominic Mysterio is interesting. It is hilarious. What he's been doing. Whoever came up with it should definitely deserves a place in whatever creative hierarchy WWE evolves into from at this point on. Just absolutely. Just pitch perfect stuff. The teardrop tattoo, just supposed to signify that he's that he killed someone behind bars in the 3 hours he was locked up. dressing like 1998 Conan, yes, all of it. all the talk about serving hard time and you don't know what prison does to a man. It's all great. It's all really great. And yeah, just, you know what, I was cringing watching that gauntlet match just the whole time. I'm thinking, oh, we're gonna get Street Profits versus Usos again. Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, it'll be a good match, but I'm over it. And then they turn around and have, they do the Finn swerve tease of Finn not being able to continue and Dominic having to get in the match, and then Dominic ends up getting the pin, and it was really good. And of course we're left, as I said, with heel versus heel, but you're going to be in a situation where both sides are probably going to get their share of cheers, because they've just been so entertaining lately. I imagine it'll still be Finn and Priest being the team wrestling them, but of course Dominic, having scored the final fall, has a claim at being in the match as well. I see this being pretty fun, whether we get it, on TV and on Raw in the next couple of weeks. Hopefully we get a six-man tag with, either Solo or Sammy. on the Usos side, you know, in between, but before we get the tag title match, maybe the tag title match will be at the Royal Rumble. Who knows? It was something about Ballsy. And I do appreciate it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a new matchup. It's an interesting matchup. Like you said, like, they're both, I mean, the Usos have kind of, or, well, the Bloodline has just kind of been pissing everybody off. So, you know, it makes sense that anyone would kind of want to take them on, and Judgment Day is kind of a solo thing. You know, like, they've kind of been off on their own little planet. So, and, like, no one, well, yeah, they've been on their own war path, I guess, is maybe where I'm trying to go. So, you know, they don't really have any friends either. So it's like two groups that don't really have any friends, but they have plenty of people in their group, so they don't really care.
Right, yeah.
And yeah, it works pretty nicely, honestly, with these two groups to match up. And I mean, it should be a good, especially if it's Finn and Damian Priest against the Usos. That should be quite a good wrestling matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. Should be very, very, very good. I'm looking forward to it.
Trying to think of, I feel like we've gotten to a lot of Raw already, and I actually don't have the report pulled up. So I'm trying to think of, things off the top of my head, that also happened on Raw.
Well, the Gauntlet took up a third of the show, so...
Yeah.
We just covered the important parts of that, so...
I guess, well, we didn't cover all of the important parts. There was the, comeback of one, Robert Lashley.
Yes, Lashley is back, coming out during, once again, the feud that never ends, during a segment with Seth Rollins and Austin Theory. Seth Rollins, thankfully, not seriously injured, as some people were concerned about after Raw last Monday, and he will be in the Royal Rumble, along with Mr. Theory and Mr. Lashley, who, yes, is back from his, well, now they're calling it a suspension. So they've redacted the idea that he was ever actually fired. It was just a suspension. that part was always stupid. It has been made also very clear that MVP was the one who went to Pierce and got the suspension lifted, and for Lashley to return fairly quickly, all things considered, less than a month. Very few people are suspended for less than 30 days. So, and we are teasing a reunion of the Hurt Business. But Lashley isn't quite ready to talk about that yet. But they're cool.
I don't mind the slow reemergence of the Hurt Business. I like Lashley on his own. I liked the group better. I guess, and there's no reason he can't hold a championship again, especially if he's in the Hurt Business. I don't know what you do with Omos, because it would almost be weird for Bobby Lashley to have a heavy. You could run it that way, I suppose, if you want to.
I mean, when Brock comes back, it might be good for Lashley to have a crew around him. It might be good for him to have a giant at his back.
Oh.
It would provide some needed backup for beatdowns, people for Brock to have to run through in order to get to Lashley at WrestleMania, and maybe some kind of gimmick match or something of some sort. Yeah, I mean, you could definitely make it work. Now, granted, Lashley still, I don't get, you know, he still walks. I feel like he turned heel by late October, early November, officially. But he still walks the ring, pumps his fist like he does. Sometimes he's still. I don't know if he did it last night, but it seems like he sometimes still high fives fans and fist bumps fans. I'm getting a lot of mixed messages on what exactly Bobby Lashley's current alignment is. Hell, I'm still getting mixed messages on exactly what Seth Rollins' current alignment is. But I'm now at least 90% sure he's a heel. He's a babyface.
Yeah, I would definitely lean babyface for Rollins. It helps who his opponents have been, but yeah, when you're getting to the crowd is singing my music phase of things, you're solidly a baby face, no matter what Chris Jericho tries to do. You know, that is baby face territory. And yeah, Austin Theory is your foil. Yep, you're definitely the baby face, especially since he's been the foil for, like you said, I guess I'm not ready to categorize it as a never-ending feud. It has certainly been stretched out more than I would have expected, I guess. But hey. I guess if Seth Rollins wants his win back, he can get it back at the next show. I don't know. I mean, he still really doesn't need the U.S. Championship back unless they're really going to make that the championship of Raw.
No. I mean, I think you can keep it on Theory, and you know, he already did it on Monday. He did the champ is here. So that as an option for WrestleMania is very much black and play.
That was pretty interesting, especially in light of the fact that John Cena did not wrestle much of that tag team match with him and Kevin Owens.
No, he didn't, and I believe the feeling is that, once again, at some point in January or early February, he will have to go to Vancouver to shoot season 2 of Peacemaker. But he will be finished in time for WrestleMania to do a match. But oh. I don't know about any of the appearances he would need to make. He would think he would be expected to make to build up a match. Take any kind of bumps in the interim, I guess that part's not happening, because when you go film something like that these days, you're still under, film and television studios are among the last places in North America that are under strict COVID protocols. You can't leave the bubble still, I don't believe.
Oh. And that makes some sense. As far as the shooting perspective goes, I guess you're trying to, try to minimize, COVID exposure, possibly to delaying your shooting by 2 weeks or whatever. Like, I suppose that makes some level of sense. Especially with a movie. Can't really be flipping parts out left and right. Like the wife's daytime soaps, they do that sometimes. And it makes me laugh. Oh, yeah.
They've always done that, yes.
So, yeah, you're not really going to do that on a movie set. So it makes a little more sense to be have a heightened awareness to the situation. Yeah, I mean, I guess he could shoot promos on set and whatnot. But yeah, it really wouldn't have the same vibe as him coming in and being live for a couple of events.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, the second he said that, Theory said that, it was definitely a thought in the old mind. It's just like, huh, reviving this whole Cena thing, huh? It will be interesting to see if they actually pull the trigger this time around. I think they will. They've done a good enough job of rebuilding Austin Theory, or building him, whichever way you want to view it, to face someone like John Cena. Like, I feel like you at least need to have some level of cachet before getting to have that match. So, what else happened on... I did pull up a Raw card here, but I didn't really look at the... there is the Bailey, and officially, I think Mee Chin is the new name for one Mia Yim here.
They're still saying. They're still saying Mia Yim after Mee Chin, or they went back to it this week. They can't make up their minds about it.
Corey Graves the big offender. Kevin Patrick was sticking to the Mee Chin storyline.
Well, no, the ring announcer did say Mee Chin, Mia Yim.
Yeah. They definitely seem to be stressing the early part, especially in the video package part of her entrance, a bit more here. Ladies division, kind of an interesting spot right now there on Raw. Because we got that stuff going on. We got the Alexa Bliss storyline going on with is it Captain Howdy? Why do
it's
I keep
Uncle Howdy.
Uncle Howdy? Showing up on Raw this week to torment Alexa Bliss, who seemingly was trying to talk herself into being proactive about the events of last week.
Yeah, once again, I don't hate this Bray Wyatt Uncle Howdy stuff as much as a lot of my compatriots and wrestling Twitter and the internet wrestling community seem to. But I don't know if it needs to be involved in an Alexa Bliss Bianca Belair feud to this degree. Like, okay, you got inside of her head and got her to turn heel. Uncle Howdy does not need to be appearing on Monday Night Raw segments with Alexa Bliss. That may have been where the line is drawn with me, because at the end of the day, Alexa Bliss versus Bianca Belair could be a serious, money-drawing feud, although I know, we don't necessarily look at wrestling in that way anymore, but it could be a really big-time feud, and I don't want it to be bogged down in selling. Go ahead.
It's one of those ones where it feels like they've tried to kickstart Alexa Bliss to be back in the singles ranks kind of a couple of times here, and they haven't really run with it. And this, to me, even if she ended up losing to Bianca Belair, I thought this could kind of be... Her character has just felt weird as a babyface.
She's not fully committed to anything. She's not... She's actually, in the ring, she's doing among the best work of her career, I think, in the singles and tags matches she was doing with Bailey and Io and Dakota. I do think that she was showing really strong work, and a lot of people, some there's still a lot of people who won't give her any credit at all for being a good worker, you'll never hear me be one of those people. But she's definitely been had a pretty consistent run here. But on the promos, facial expressions, body language, and yes, some of that was also spooky. Bray Wyatt is the specter of her past. Bray Wyatt is overhead. But no. I'm pretty good at seeing wrestlers' body language and being able to tell who's legitimately enthused by what they're doing. And she really was not. You know, you realize that you're playing second banana. And you realize when Becky came back, you and Oscar are competing for third banana. You know, at that point, you know that there is no, I mentioned this probably multiple times, there is no path to being more than the number three babyface in the Raw women's division.
Oh, yes.
And there's not even that many women in the Raw in the women's division to only be the third, to be number three babyface and have that mean anything. So, you know, the heel turn was absolutely necessary. It puts her neck and neck with, you know, Okay, I guess there's three top heels in the Raw Women's Division now with her, Rhea, and Bayley. And I guess that works. But for Alexa, though, you know, you can slot Bayley in the third spot. And well, I'm not saying she doesn't have ambition or anything. It feels more right than having Alexa Bliss, first of all, be a babyface in the first place. And then be a babyface who is subservient to the other babyfaces. It just doesn't fit who she is.
Yeah, it. None of that stuff ever seemed like a genuine character to me. You know, like, it was always just like, oh, why are you still carrying around the doll? It sells. And it's just like, well, I guess I get that. But it still seems weird with this new personality here. Because, like, you were tortured when you were carrying that around. Like, in some ways, that shouldn't have mattered that it sold. Like, I guess I get it. You want to push your merch, but it made for an awkward character. And, yeah, she's never really been able to, you know, whether it's just through circumstance, she hasn't really been able to connect as a babyface this go-around. And it does seem like just, like you said, like, they have more room for heel women on the roster. And, I really hope this kind of reestablishes her as at least someone that you can throw into that championship feud. Like, I guess I don't really expect her to beat Bianca Belair. It's a possibility that it happens, though.
I do think it's a strong possibility that she wins, and I think it's a strong possibility that Bianca Belair gets moved into, if not a complete move to SmackDown, she ends up challenging Charlotte Flair at WrestleMania. I said that last week. That would not surprise me at all if that is, because that has been, Charlotte versus Bianca at WrestleMania has probably been something you heard some whispers about dating back to just after last year's WrestleMania. So it doesn't surprise me that, you know, not a lot of people thought Charlotte would come back to Raw and it would be for the Raw Women's Championship. But if they want to take a different tact with it, it's fine. Because once again, the Raw Women's Division, it's pretty star power.
Yeah, they and almost you have too many.
Certainly, minutes. Do a number. You could have a number of options of what to do. As we said last week, I'm pretty much guarantee that Charlotte's opponent at WrestleMania is going to be someone from Raw who's currently on Raw. And then you still have choices. You could still run Rhea Ripley versus Bianca. You could still run Rhea versus Becky. You could run Becky versus Alexa. You could possibly put Asuka back into the mix, but I'm not sure of her real life health situation or whether if she's gone because they're retooling her or she's gone because she's injured. I really haven't heard anything solid on that. But you know, she's never completely out of the mix. So yeah, they have a strong mix of women, so that they could both have a strong singles title match for the Raw Women's Championship and send someone to SmackDown to challenge Charlotte Flair.
Yeah.
And then still have some left over for a women's tag title match, or put Rhea in a mixed tag with I would assume Finn against Edge and Beth Phoenix. That's definitely very possible. Because it doesn't look like they're doing that match early. They're doing that match at the Royal Rumble or anytime sooner either.
No, that does not seem like that one is on the horizon at all at the current moment.
I could see both Beth and Edge essentially being surprises in their respective Royal Rumbles.
Uh-oh. And then coming back after that for the match.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make a great deal of sense. I don't know when he was supposed to be done. Thought he was out filming too. I don't know when he was supposed to be done with that. But
yeah. He was definitely filming something. But he also was something that he was meant to, I think, be the lead in either. So he would have gone in, filmed. It's Percy Jackson, right? And Disney Plus that he was doing.
Oh no, I did not realize this.
Yeah, no. He wasn't in anything. I know they're doing a new Vikings on Netflix, but that would have that would have filmed a year ago, and he's not a part of this new Vikings world. It was the new Percy Jackson story for Disney Plus. He's got a role, but it's not the biggest role in the show. He'll be in a. I don't know if he's technically a regular, but he's in a bunch of episodes.
Oh,
something
okay.
Like that. You probably have to go to some foreign country to film it, and he's already been there since September or early October. So he's probably about due for a comeback. Usually filming on these types of things is 3-4 months.
So yeah. That could be on the horizon. Like you said, like Raw has hogs too much of the talent, and it really shows, just because they can't have Bayley in. Well, and I think she just does such a great job promoting herself these days, especially as a heel, that you can really throw her in a whole lot of different feud situations, and she makes it work these days. It is quite the sight. Like, she doesn't need to have the championship to be relevant and to get a huge crowd reaction. Because people like booing them. They really seem to not like Bayley, and that's pretty cool. I guess. Whew, man, I'm just looking at the list of what happened on SmackDown itself. Other than the tag team championship matches, there was not a whole lot on this show. Ricochet versus Top Dollar is one of the headline matches. That is not a good sign.
No, and it was only 30 seconds long, too.
That really was dominated by bloodline stuff.
And it should be.
So, because
SmackDown, the middle to bottom of SmackDown still has a lot of issues that need to be resolved by a draft. hopefully after WrestleMania.
It was pretty strange to see a Madcap Moss and Emma versus Karrion Kross and Scarlett match, honestly.
Ooh, that was not good. And why would it be, when was the last time Scarlett has regularly wrestled? What, 5 years or more?
It's probably been less than that, because she was in Impact not that long ago. Was it 3 years ago that they came over?
Um, it was about 2019, I want to say, that he showed. It may have even been 2020 that he showed up in NXT. I don't know.
Return to 20 to 21 is what it's listed as. So I believe that counts his time in NXT, because then it says MLW New Japan return to WWE 2022. So. Yeah, I mean, I guess it's been at least in the realm of 3 years that she hasn't really wrestled regularly. Oh. Well, and I guess I didn't realize he was at MLW for a year after Impact. Did she stick? Oh, she stuck around, though, didn't she? I'm trying to remember her storyline there.
You might be talking a foreign language to me right now.
She was in AAA from 2018 to 2019. But she's largely been inactive, I guess. Unless she wrestled in MLW a lot. So yeah, all around, match not good. Not a lot to talk about there. And yeah, Charlotte and Sonya, not much to talk about there either.
No, nothing really to talk about except for the whoop that trick trap that it is apparently a Memphis sports tradition based on the movie Hustle and Flow. Not a big Memphis sports watcher, and shockingly, if this was shockingly, considering how often WWE has come to Memphis since that movie was released in, I believe, 2005, it's insane that, especially when crowds were much more rowdier and much less respectful of women, shall we say, back in those days. It's surprising that was the first time a whoop that trick chant has made its debut in WWE. But it did provide a very funny moment. It was amusing. You could tell that, you know, Charlotte broke, Sony was trying not to break. That at least provided a fun moment. You know, match was what it was. It wasn't gonna be much.
No, it was as good as it was expected to be, honestly. Because Sonya's at least a solid wrestler at this point. Like, I don't think she's ever going to be a superstar, but she's not going to be a bum in the ring either.
No. She's not going to be a bum or anything. But yeah, she's not going to be a superstar at this point. That boat has sunk. But no, you know, a role player for sure.
Yeah. I guess, is there anything to be said for Adam Pearce being more of a role player again these days?
He has definitely been portrayed more strongly these maybe the last 2 weeks. Since the last time we talked about it, he has been he has gotten some things done. He has at least in some ways, gotten some order restored and you know, made the bloodline at least get some comeuppance for their actions and as well as others. So maybe he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it. So, I guess anything else sticking out in your brain to talk about before we mosey on off of this podcast here and hang our heads disappointedly that the big news that we were promised is not here by the time we're done talking?
No, I think we can head out.
I guess one question, although I know that you have pretty much sworn it off. Did you tune into Rampage because there was another hour of AEW for Battle of the Belts afterwards?
I did. I watched a Fierce match.
Oh.
That was the only thing I ended up watching. But yes, I watched a Fierce match. It was funny, hokey wrestling bullshit. But oh my god. I just cringed. Aubrey Edwards. Chance, a huge pop. She just annoys me to no end. I just can't stand a referee or a ring announcer or any of those types trying to make attention to bring attention. Unless it's a story, it's a storyline. I can't stand that in wrestling. And I know, yes, this week was a planned storyline thing, but she's always bogarting scenes whenever she's refereeing. And I can't stand her for it. So that they're actually giving her more of a feature and live AEW crowds are going along with it so strongly, it makes me very sad. Because I just don't like her.
Oh, man. I definitely seem to feel like... It's weird where the WWE had always gone to the point where they underplayed the referees, and I feel like they're just kind of going the opposite direction with AEW, where it's just like, I don't care this much about the referees, guys. Like, I just don't want you to be silly and just go, the referee. Like, I know most referees' names in the NFL. Like, you don't need to pretend like they're nameless. Mr. Vince McMahon, you know, just act like they're human and they're part of the product, but they shouldn't really be the focus of the product. And yeah, I'm with you. She kind of is almost a focus of the product, and it's just like, no, that's not your role. Like, you can be good at it and be noticed for being good at it, but you don't need to intentionally stand out. So, yeah, there are definitely certain parts of her character that I am also not a fan of. I think that, yeah, she just tries to draw too much attention, and it's just like, yeah, that's not your role.
I will be tuning into Rampage this Friday, or I'll record it and watch it later. The second women's tag team, women's street fight in AEW history, with once again, Tay Mello and Anna Jay. AS, which is just so stupid. I usually avoid taking on Ruby Soho and Willow Nightingale. That should be, as the kids say, a hoot.
That's going to be kind of an interesting one.
Did you ever see the first women's street fight that Tay and Anna Jay were in against Penelope Ford and Allie? That was a wild. That was like a late favorite. They literally aired that on New Year's Eve. It was like a late favorite for my favorite match of 2020. For one of my favorite matches of 2021. It was so entertaining. It was so good.
I mean, I swear I watched it because I'm pretty sure I watched everything that weekend. but I really don't remember a whole lot about it, to be honest with you. If I, and maybe that does mean that I actually didn't get to that, if it aired New Year's Eve. Because I wasn't watching that on New Year's, I wasn't watching wrestling that day. For a change. Yeah, I don't know. I mean... They really seem to go for it in AEW. Like, that is not a problem. It's almost too many people going for it is the problem over there. So I could see this street fight being really gung-ho because they do not mind really beating on each other if that's what's called for. And everyone's pretty good wrestlers in the match.
Yeah, no.
You know,
it should be entertaining. As you said, they will go for it, and the ladies will lead. for entertainment.
Yeah, so hey, I can't believe it. We will have consecutive weeks where we actually talk about Rampage. So how about them apples? 2 weeks in a row. And I guess, is there anything to talk about? Oh, no, you just said you watched the Jeff Jarrett match only. So nothing to really talk about there, because yeah, we will keep on leaving it at the less Jeff Jarrett on my TV, the better.
Could you imagine going to one more thing though? Could you imagine paying to go to a live wrestling show, and the last match you see involves Kip Sabian, and then it's time to go, show's over. You've really gotten your money's worth.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I don't think he's a bad wrestler, but also I have zero reason to invest in him. So that just kind of makes him uninteresting to me.
Oh, he is completely uninteresting.
You know, it's not even like a you suck. Like, it is kind of worse to be uninteresting than to suck. He doesn't even suck. He doesn't even have an attribute that I'm like, man, that really annoys me about him. It's just like, okay, dude. Like, you go for it. I don't care. So yeah, I would not feel satisfied if Kip Sabian were in my main event. And I've gone to some really, really local indie shows, and I don't think I'd want Kip Sabian in the main event. So yeah, anything else to contribute here before getting on out of here this time?
No. Although it still is not confirmed, and we'll leave you with this right now,
No.
and then you and Jeremy can actually talk about it on Thursday. The rumor is sources from someone named Steven Mühlhausen. I don't know who that is. Sources: WWE has been sold to Saudi Arabia's public investment fund. The company will go back to being private. Unknown if Vince McMahon will return to head of creative, but it is expected by some people. Once again, unconfirmed. But boy, what a thing to leave with you. Although by morning,
Wow.
it will be, it will likely be confirmed or denied. So
Yeah, I
it
mean
might be for nothing, but.
if it is out there already, that is definitely some big news. And like you said, I mean, you kind of said it earlier in the show that if he kind of made this move, and I mean, he mentioned in the introductory or the comeback press conference that was talking about, and you know, loudly about a sale. Like, yeah, maybe he had something set up already. And
Yeah,
Nick.
I thought it then, and well, it appears to be coming to fruition as we speak at as we're nearing 11 p.m. Eastern Time, which I guess is kind of the start of business day over there.
Yeah, oh.
Or
Yeah.
maybe it's late evening.
'Cause what, they would be 8 hours or so ahead, I would imagine. 'Cause mainland Europe is 6. England is 5. So I'd
It is
imagine.
six. It's 6:44. It's 6:44 a.m. there. So it's nearing their morning. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. 8 hour difference from here then. Okay. Yeah, hey, like you said, it's maybe start a business day. That's why some rumors are already leaking out there. Could be an interesting week in wrestling here.
Oh yes, yeah. I don't know anything more that could be more interesting than this. I guess hopefully the aspirin product we've all loved for so many years of our lives is able to survive.
Yeah, that will be very interesting to keep our eyeballs on. For this show here, Belltime Beer, trying to clean out the fridge for some of the newer beers. This one's been on the shelf for a little while. Saucy Brew Works, Mr. Stone's Double Oat Stout. It is just a regular, nice, extremely creamy stout. It is not... Because, yeah, I don't think it's actually... Yeah, it's only 6.5% alcohol. So it's not like a really heavy Imperial. It is a very light Imperial. And, but it's really tasty. It is really good and super just smooth in that way that only a stout can be smooth. So, yeah. Belltime Beer of the week. I believe it's Saucy Brewworks. They are out of Cleveland, Ohio, but they have a distribution all over the great state of Ohio. So you can find it anywhere in this vicinity. And you can find it at major sporting venues in and about the state, too. So if you happen to go to a game at, you know, any venue, take a look for some Saucy Brewworks. And that is the Belltime Beer suggestion from Matt DeFrango 11. That is at Stunt Cali. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or Google. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.